We're going to start on part four today of our message that the Lord put on my heart a few months ago, is don't let Jesus pass you by. Are you ready? You ready to let Jesus pass you by? You better say no. Got you, didn't I? Don't let Jesus pass you by. We're coming out of keynote scriptures, Mark 6:48. See, Jim talked about, as he was reading about our believing, our giving shouldn't be a struggle. Our expecting God to take care of our needs shouldn't be a struggle. That bird doesn't struggle to believe it's going to have food in the morning. Well, that's what, as Jesus saw them toiling, struggling, he saw them struggling in rowing to get to where he told them to go. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he came unto them, walking upon the sea of Galilee, and would have passed by them. I'm going to hit these topics just for summary, but we're going on further. First point I want you to know, God wants you, when Jesus gives you a promise, he told them we're going to the other side. He told his disciples it was time for them to get some rest because they've been working the miracles with him, feeding 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people. They were tired. Then more people, when they're getting ready to get in the boat, they were bringing sick people. Why? Because Jesus was healing sick people. So when the church gets the message out there, when people get healed in church, they're going to say, we need to go to church instead of go to the hospital. They're having better results down church. Amen. If they let Jesus be the doctor, we have better results. Amen. This is what was happening. So they didn't get the rest. They had to pray for the multitude. And then the Bible says Jesus sent the multitude away. He said, okay, guys, get into the boat now. Hurry, get into the boat before more people come. Paraphrasing. So they're going to the other side. Jesus is going to the mountain to pray, just getting us caught up. And while Jesus was going to pray, here come a wind. Boisterous. Sound like the devil, don't it? He's the principality of the power of the air. Why is he wanting to stop them? Because Jesus wants them to the other side. Why? There's more sick folk. More people need to get healed. Hear the good news. So 13's better than 1, right? So he can't stop Jesus. He's full of the Holy Ghost and power, full of faith. Amen. After the Jordan River. But the 12 disciples, they're not. They're still disciples. They haven't got the Holy Ghost within yet. So Jesus, he can't stop Jesus, but he's stopping them. Just for a little while. Because Jesus knows what's going on. He's praying to the Father. You think the Father don't know what's going on? So Jesus tells you, first point, when Jesus gives you a promise, you can count on it. Like Jim said, you put your money down here, you can count. You got a return coming. You got to believe it. Amen? If I don't get a return, I take my money and go somewhere else. But God says in the Bible, prove me. Herewith said the Lord. If I won't open up, that's Old Testament. Open up the windows. The windows have been open since the Old Testament. God's just waiting for somebody to receive it, believing. So he can open up the windows of heaven. That's revelation knowledge. That'll give you power. The Bible says God gives you power to get wealth. Wisdom. Wisdom's been opened up, but he ain't giving it to everybody. He's giving it to the ones that's believing it, sowing it, and expecting it. That's the revelation coming. You're the ones going to get the, God's going to give you wisdom to know how to handle that problem at work, and they're going to promote you. Amen? See, wisdom comes from God. It don't come from my brain. God gave me this body. Amen? But he gave me the spirit. It helps it live and function and know what to do. Before then, I was a walking dead man, before Christ. I was one of them zombies you hear a lot of people going to watch. I was one of them. I was a dead man walking. You were too when you was a sinner. Amen? You just didn't know it. You didn't know how dead you were. See, darkness don't know how dark it is till it sees the light. Then it got to go. Amen? So, Jesus, give you a promise. You can count on it. He got them into the boat. And he made sure he got them to the other side. There's no doubt Jesus came to help his disciples. Number two, why did it take so long? See, they were out there. They started around sundown. And Jesus came to them about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's about 6 or 7 hours. They're struggling against this wind. Well, Jesus, this wasn't the first time. To get to our other point, this number two, this wasn't the first time. Why did Jesus wait so long to help them out? He left the shore of the Sea of Galilee about sundown, and Jesus didn't come to them until the fourth watch, 3 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's only about a 2-hour trip across the sea, so there's a lot of in between there. So it's easy to see that this was a very contrary, boisterous wind. Now, they didn't have mercury motors, they had oars, so, you know, they ain't got what we got, But they got 12 of them. I don't know how many oars they got in that boat. So, but this wasn't the first time. This is another point. This wasn't the first time Jesus had saved them from a storm. If you go two chapters back earlier in Mark, and I'm going to read you Mark 4, 35 through 41. Now, this is back a couple chapters, and it says, "And the same day when evening was come," here we go, another evening coming up, "he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side." Promise from Jesus. "And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him," even Jesus, "into the ship." Now, different scenario. They sent the multitude away, and they put Jesus asleep on the boat. Jesus going back there to sleep. He's tired too. "And there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship." Now, Jim, he's a Navy man. He could tell us lots of stories on those ships. Now, he was on a big ship. This is a little ship. Waves beating on that ship didn't hurt Jim's ship too much because he had a metal ship. They had a wood boat. It wasn't that big compared to the water. But waves are still waves. Amen. And they're beating on this boat. "It was now full of water." That's not good. That's not good. Anybody ever had boating, went on the boat, and I did a few times. I hadn't done it a lot, but there's a little plug. If you don't forget to put the plug in the back by the motor, water will come in your boat. Amen. I didn't know that. See, because once you get done with the boat, you pull the plug to let the water, a little bit of water that got in, get out. So you got to make sure you put the plug back in, dummy, before you get back in the water, or your boat will sink. Amen. I learned that the hard way. Boat sinking. Amen. So, water's coming into the boat, and Jesus is on the back of the boat, sleeping. But there's water in the boat. Don't care. He knows where he's going. If he has to float there, he's going there regardless. So he is asleep, and they woke him. See, their anxiety, fear of drowning woke up Jesus, and they woke him. You know, I talked about don't never wake up a crying baby once that baby gets to sleep. Because you're feeding the baby, you're pampering the baby, you want the baby to sleep because that's how they grow. Jesus was growing. He was sleeping. He was resting. He was growing in God. Fear woke up Jesus. "Master, don't you care that we perish?" If you go back and read a couple more chapters, Jim, I believe I'm right. Jesus taught about the sower sows the word. He'd been talking about the cares of this world will try to take the word out of you. What's happening? Devil trying to get the word out of him. Jesus is sleeping. I bet he's dreaming. Lord, let them get the word. I bet he's dreaming. Let that word get in their heart, Lord. See, Jesus was a man too. He was a son of man. He dreamed. He had dreams. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose. I'd like to see the look on Jesus' face when he rose up out there. Amen. Could you just get a picture? "And he rebuked the wind." Spoke to that wind. Rebuked it. Now, do you think God sent the wind? Are you going to stand up and rebuke your father? No, that didn't come from the Father God. That came from the devil. So he rebuked the wind, and the sea said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" Why are you so fearful? Why did you let fear fill you up like this water filled in this boat when I put the word in you all day? We talked about the sower sowing the word. I put faith in you and you let the devil put fear in you. See, faith, fear will negate faith. It'll take it completely away. "How is it that you have no faith?" Wow, that's pretty stern there, ain't it? Well, you woke him up. You asked. You woke the master up. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this?" Who is this man that's in our boat? They didn't throw him out, though, did they? They kept him. "I want Jesus in my boat. That even the wind and the sea obey him." So why did Jesus wait so long to help them out? Helen's not here. We're believing for their, you know, they got a good word last week. She spoke in tongues. Been filled with the Spirit. Never really spoke in tongues. Guess what? Storm hit them. I mean, we'll be praying for them. They balance some things. See, the devil trying to get the word out, but pastor's going to call, make sure they keep that word in their heart. Stir that word up. You got something good, the devil trying to get rid of you now. Don't go to church. Keep them out of church. Nah. They are the church. You are the church. Amen. It ain't being in this building that makes you who you are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Have church wherever you go. Take it home with you. Have church at home. Amen. You are the church. Jesus was looking for, why did it take so long? He's waiting for these boys to get out here and say something. Point three, Jesus was looking for faith. He's looking for faith. Because without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, I can't please God. That doesn't change God's love for me. He loves me regardless, but he needs that spirit of faith. Say spirit of faith. Spirit of faith speaks on this wise. Amen. It says what God says. Wind is saying you're not going to the other side. Jesus said, I am. Speak, Spirit. Spirit of faith. Speak. Say what Jesus said. I'm going to church on Sunday. That's when we set aside our day to go to church. You got to tell your body, tell your situation. If you're working a job and you got to work on Sunday, you ain't got to tell your employer, tell God. I'm going to church. My schedule is going to get changed. See, don't tell your boss. Let your boss know, I enjoy going to church. Let your request be known, but don't tell him what you're going to do. Tell the devil what you're going to do. And God will work out the schedule. Amen? That's what I did for years. I mean, my schedule, you know what I did? I worked after church. I said, hey, I'd be glad to work with your schedule here. Can I work the night shift? And I didn't like the night shift. But I love church more. So I made a sacrifice. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient. Amen? I wanted both. I wanted church, but I didn't want to lose my job. So I worked a night shift for about 4 or 5 years. And I didn't like it. God knew I didn't like it. He had the next thing waiting on me. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Don't you add them. Let God add them. You got that, Adam? Amen? Did you get that in the background? Say amen. You may have amen back here. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Jesus is looking for faith. I'll give you another scriptures. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Run to and fro like this. To and fro. Looking, searching the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. How is your heart perfect toward God? You have a hearing heart, you want to hear the word. What makes a hearing heart? Obedience. I want to hear. Makes a humble heart. Makes a hearing ear. That's what I mean. A humble heart makes ears to hear. I want to know what God's going to say. I want to know what the pastor's going to say. Because God's going to give him something. Amen? I prayed that he would give me something for you. And I know God, he's faithful. Amen? So however I got to say it today, I might say it 2 or 3 times. Repetitive is God wants to make sure you're getting it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Here is the key to miracles. We've probably heard it all of our life, but we need to hear it again. What is the key to miracles? Mary knew a key. Whatever Jesus says, do it. You know, Nike took that and ran with it. Just do it. That came from God. Somebody took it and ran with it, made money off of it. And they need to put a fish emblem on there. Just do it because it came from God. Amen. I hope God's getting some glory in that. Here is the key to miracles and for the operation of the power of God to manifest. Say manifest, Peggy. Manifest in our lives. What's the key to miracles? Do it when you're hurting. Do it and when you're feeling good, keep doing it. In other words, if your body's not feeling good, do it anyway. But even when you're feeling good, go to church. When you nothing's bothering you, get up and go. Study the word. Why? Devil's coming for another season. Amen. You beat him, you defeated him one time, but he's coming back until Jesus destroys him forever with the sword of his word. That's the fight of faith, guys. But to key the miracles and for the operation of the power of God to manifest in our lives, the disciples were full of natural unbelief. Unbelief. They were seeing things with their eyes that was contrary to where they're supposed to go. The disciples were full of natural unbelief, and it caused their hearts. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Out of your heart flows the issues, the Bible says, the issues of life. Amen? The disciples were full of natural unbelief, and it caused their hearts to be hardened. And when we read his word, read the word of God, we must let it get rooted, say rooted, and grounded on the inside of us. In other words, that's how your roots get down, is you keep hearing, and you keep hearing, you keep telling yourself, I know my body's feeling bad, but by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Roots going down. Roots going down. Roots going down. And you know, I've got a Bradford pear tree, and as I keep mowing the yards, those little sprigs will try to come up in my yard, seeds that fall down, get in the ground of that Bradford tree, whatever tree you got, acorn, pecan. Well, as long as I keep mowing them, I'm okay. But if I forget one patch a couple weeks, 3 weeks, and that thing gets to be about 2-3 foot tall, and I'll just go out there and I'll pull it up. No, you ain't. Because what's happening, there's roots, there's a root system down there, and you go pull on it, you're like, man, glory to God, this thing's just a little old thing. You ain't seen what's been happening underneath. See, the Word of God in your heart, you keep giving it. You keep praising, thanking God. Keep it in there. Meditate on it. It's getting roots in you. Because when that storm and that big wind comes, you'll say, I'm going to sleep, man. I'm going to the other side. See, faith enters into rest. See, those roots will get you down to that living water. And the Word of God will give you another word. Don't you get in fear. You stay in faith. And faith enters into rest. And the devil has to open up. You submit to God, resist the devil, he has to flee. Run from you in terror. That's the key to miracles. The key to miracles. And we do that by meditating on it and then doing it. Meditating on it and then faith speaks and faith acts. I will. I will. I got it. I will. See, the just, the Bible says, the just live by faith, not just on Sundays. The just live by faith 24/7, not just on Sundays. The just. Amen. You're justified by Christ. The just live by faith 24/7, just like a natural seed can't get into that hard ground. Remember, the hearts were hard. That natural seed, if that ground's hard, it can't get in there. That's what a hardened heart of unbelief. You can't get the miracle. You can't get it because the Word of God has got to penetrate that soil. The Word has to penetrate that hard heart. And people that are unbelieved, they don't believe God. They say they believe God, but they don't because they're not acting like they believe God. If they act like they believe God, they love people. See, because that means they've let the Word get in their heart. But some of them let the devil steal it and get them offenses. They get offended because of something didn't happen immediately. They get offended. And then that heart gets hardened, and those seeds can't get down there and can't get rooted in our hearts. And that's where our miracle, we don't see it manifest because we're starting to go by what we feel and what we hear instead of by what we believe, who we believe. See, God's word is the seed, and just believe it and just let it in. Just let it in. Let it in and keep it in. Keep it in. Meditate on it. Be like Joshua and Caleb. They had the spirit of faith. Amen. They had the spirit of faith. Now I'm going to plug right here because now Cecil's not here, but this is his word, and we're going to believe for him because something he's dealing with when he was talking about he got 12 reports or 12 biopsies. And as soon as I heard that 12 and we're believing for a report, this scripture came to me that Moses sent out 12 spies to the promised land because that's where God told them to go. There's milk and honey over there in the promised land. And the children of Israel, Moses sent out 12 spies, and two of them came back with God's report. The other 10 said, it's a nice land. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's giants in the land. There's giants in the land. The spirit of faith said, Joshua and Caleb said, you know, that's JC. Now you can say Caleb and Joshua. I like to say Joshua and Caleb. Any way you look at Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. They came back with a good report. Yeah, there's giants out there, but we well able to take them. Let's go get them. That is the spirit of faith. Only two. That's a low percentage. But what, say, I'll be a two. I'll be one of those two that gives the good report. Because, see, they knew God. The other 10, they must have been religious. They've been hanging around church, but they don't believe what they've been hearing. Caleb and Joshua did. They said, we well able. And you keep reading 40, 50 years later when they were 80, 90 years old. Joshua said, Caleb, milk and honey still over there. You ready? I'm well able. Let's go get it, Joshua. Amen. Never give up. Faith never gives up. And see, they saw God's report. It's true the giants were there. It's true the storm was here. But we got a promise from God that says, I believe, therefore I speak. We believe, therefore we speak. That's the spirit of faith. I'm going to have it. That's not God's report. This is my report. Let me tell you what it says. This is the report. Used to sing it at Faith Covenant. I shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. See, I heard that. I just didn't hear it. I heard it, and it got down in there. I need to stir it up a little bit. That's an old song. Amen? That's what a spirit of faith does. And you need to surround yourself with people that believe like you believe. Amen? That's the key to miracles. Walking by faith. The just live by faith. So what do we do? How do we get this miracle? Call out to him in faith. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Call out to him in faith and declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, that's Old Testament prayer. The kingdom has come. See, they were praying. Jesus said, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came to earth. He fulfilled the law. He is in heaven. Now he says, all power is in heaven and earth is in me. Jesus said, now you go. He gave us that power. See, that's delegated power. Now you command, you bind, and you loose. And I'm up there with the Father, and we agreeing. Holy Ghost, make it happen. 1, 2, 3. Simple as 1, 2, 3. Amen. ABCs of Christianity. I believe, I speak, and I act. Amen. Action. They call me Action Jackson. That was before Christ. I still got the action. It's just BC now. I mean, it's Adonai after Christ. How do you say that? Adomini. God added on me. He added it on me. He gave me the power. He gave you the power. He gave the church the power. Amen. Say amen or oh me. If you say oh me, we'll pray for you. You get that power. Receive that power. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in tongues. Why? Because the Bible says, Paul said, I thank God. You need to thank God that you speak in tongues. If you ain't speaking tongues, you say, God, I thank you. I speak in tongues. More than you all. But in a church service, we prophesy so we all be edified. But when you leave church, pray in tongues because you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Why? Storm coming. You need to be built up for that storm. It don't have to be a windstorm. It could be any kind of bad report that says you're not. The Bible says, I can do all things through the anointed one. That anointing gives you power to persevere. That's what the anointing is for, is to help you do what you can't do without it. Christ in you, the hope of glory, he anoints you with power. I know you guys, you ain't going to let Jesus pass you by. He's in heaven. Don't let the healing pass you by. See, when you see Jesus pass, that's healing passing by. That's financial blessings. That's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. It's passing. You come here. Don't you go over. You come. I want you in my boat. Blessings, financial blessings. Peace, that's the peace of God. Don't let it pass you by. Peace, there'll be peace in my house. Why? Prince of Peace is here. He lives in me. Peace, speak peace to your house, your situation. Don't let peace pass you by. Joy, I got that joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, well, get it out of your heart. Get it out on your body. Get Harold and Peggy up here. They bring joy to this place. Why? They got it on the inside. They're bringing it to you. Amen. It's the joy of the Lord. That's not something you do. It's something you have. Joy is a fruit of your born-again spirit. But you got to notify, like I heard somebody say, notify your face. Notify your body. You're supposed to rejoice. And if you didn't hear me back here, and again I say rejoice. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Brendan, but I'm just looking past you. Amen. That's what Paul said. I will, again I say rejoice. And again I say, just in case you didn't hear it, rejoice in the Lord. Always. And Jesus never leaves you, so you have no excuse not to rejoice always. Not for all things, in all things. So you can get to the other side. Your praise steals the enemy. Who is your enemy? The principality power of the air, who now works in the children, of disobedience. There's people working against you that are full of the devil. They don't have mental problems. They got spiritual problems. Come on. That's what the world needs to know. There's mental problem is not the problem. It's a spiritual problem. Franklin Graham's preaching this. World needs Jesus. Amen. Trump is an answer, but he's not the answer. He's an answer to a problem, but Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Trump's just one of the pieces of the puzzle that's helping us. Amen. If you can't read, statistics and know that Trump's helping you, God help our, God save the king. I'll just say that Old Testament. Save Trump. Amen. He is saved. He's blessed. He's got angels beside him. Why? Church is praying for him. Man, the numbers are going off the charts. How can you deny that? Religion. Religion. Because Jesus said, light has come into the world, but darkness won't have fellowship with it. Why? Because if they get exposed, they'd have to come to him. That darkness has to be exposed. There's stuff that wants to be exposed, guys. And it's out there. So I thank God it's being exposed. Keep praying. Amen. That means there's some stuff that's going to hit the fan, we used to say. It's going to hit the fan. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Number four. I'm almost done, Cindy. Number four. Point four, if you're taking notes. If you ever need these notes, I'd be glad to send you a copy. I know I haven't said that, but if you ever need a copy of the notes, I'd be glad. I won't put all my markings on it unless it's real, real good. I'll mark it up for you. But see, if you use permanent marker, it kind of bleeds to the other side, so you got to kind of watch. You know, you kind of be rereading it, Harold. Jesus was looking for faith. That's why it took so long. It's not that and God don't want you to suffer through sickness, disease, poverty, but he needs your faith. And he's going to continually put people across your path to give you, encourage you, because what they're doing, they're trying to get it out of you. See, God's trying to encourage you because he wants it to come out of you. When it comes out of your mouth, that's yours. And I'll just share with you this kind of, I didn't got the notes, but it goes right good here. Did I even sound that right? It goes right good here. That don't sound good. Kelsey will probably correct me on that grammar. I make me some notes, Pastor Jim, in my phone. And I got a lot of notes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No, that's an old one. Return the sender. Remember the song? Return the sender, address unknown, no such data, no such zone. I love Elvis Presley. That's just a little bit of it. Come back next week, part two. When you sign for the package, it's yours. Now, if Reed was here, I got to preach this again because it might be his message because he worked for the postal office for many years. You come to the door. Now, if it's a real important, if it's an iPhone 10, costs a lot of money, somebody got to be home for you to sign. They ain't going to leave it there because they know the thieves out here. They know the thieves out here. They steal them packages. So they have to take it back to the post office if you ain't there. But if you're there to put your signature, say signature, you put your signature on it, it's yours. Postman leaves happy. I have delivered, fulfilled my message. Well, if the devil's bringing you sickness and you sign for it, oh, a flu's coming. I guess I'm going to get it. It's yours. You add whatever you want to on it, anything. You just sign the ticket. But that don't mean, but Jesus, don't get anxious. You just let Jesus pass you by is what you did. But he's still walking and he's still waiting. All you got to say, Jesus, there's a word that says, I repent, Lord. That means I'm sorry. Confess your sins, 1 John 1 and 9. If you sin, confess your sins. I'm sorry, Lord, I messed up. He said, what sin? I gave you the word. Get on, act on it. Yeah, I ain't receiving this. Tear the ticket up. Return the sender. Give it back to the devil. That's where it belongs. That's his disease. That ain't yours. That's his sickness. That's his disease. It didn't come from our Father God. It came from the father of the devil. I'm not in his kingdom no more. Quit taking it. Don't take stress. Don't take anxiety. Don't take fear. Don't take anything that does not belong here. Amen? Jim, you can preach that message. I'll even make copies when you preach it. Return the sender. Get it back. Don't sign the ticket. It's not yours. We got a book over here that says write your own ticket too. Brother Kenneth Hagin, take that book home with you. You can write your own ticket. I ain't talking about pride here. I'm talking about what God says you can have. whatsoever things you desire. Now there's qualifiers. Jesus said, if my word abide in you and you abide in my word, whatsoever you ask, you can have it. If Jesus is, if the word of God's in you, you're not going to ask anything contrary to the word of God. Amen? And Jesus said, if you ask according to me, you'll have it. Amen? And it's your, that's it. That's simple. I got it. Well, I don't see it yet. That's faith, brother. I don't see it yet. That's faith. Now fight it. Fight the good fight of faith. I got it. You got to see it with your heart and hang on to it. Amen? Marie, she's hanging on to Angel back here. Why? Because they together, man. They got married. He's mine. She's mine. Hang on to one another. Amen? Hang on to one another. That's yours. Hey, you said I do, right? That sealed the ticket. That's called covenant. Blood. Till death do us part. And we say, and I just say, we leaving at the same time. Let's just say the rapture. Amen. We're getting out at the same time. Amen. Say, don't focus on death. Live. Death's not your friend. It's your enemy. Amen. So don't think about death. And one day you'll just be gone. You'll say, woo, where am I at? I'm in glory. I'm in hell. I'm in heaven. And you say, where'd my body go? God said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that body for you. He is. He's going to take care of it, right? Amen. So be thinking about, see, the real you's on the inside. This old body's got an expiration date on it, you know. I don't know what date it is, but it is expiring. It's perishing. Amen. It's got to be renewed, guys. It's moaning and groaning. Anybody moaned and groaned this morning coming to church? Be honest if you had some moans and groans, but that's not the real you. That's just your body getting older. It's affected by the law of sin and death. Ain't that right, Jim? There's a law working on this body. It's the curse of the earth, but there's something on the inside that's greater. It says, pray, get up, go walk the leg. Come on, we're going to church. Law of gravity, center of gravity, yes. See, Jim prophesying out there. But there's another law working in me that Paul knew about. It's the law of the life of spirit in Christ Jesus. He said, behead me, do what, put me in prison. I'll preach to the inmates. Because see, there's something, that joy, I'm feeling it right now. It's not a feeling, it's an expression of God. That's a good definition. Look it up, somebody. Joy is not a feeling, it's an expression of God. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. I'm tapping in a little bit. I hope you guys get it. Let's get a gusher going. Old Faithful, that's what he is. He ain't old, he's faithful. God ain't old, he's just faithful. Remember Old Faithful? That geyser? God is faithful. He's not old. Amen. They've seen it. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you let Jesus pass you by, Donnie. Amen. Amen. We're talking to the sound man now. Hallelujah. Here we're coming to a close. I'm not good at Roman numerals, so I'll write the number beside the Roman numeral. See, Microsoft Word, you hit the enter button and it goes to the next Roman numeral. I'm like, what in the world is that? Number 4. See, I compromise. I make things easy for myself. So that's why you wouldn't get my good notes up here. You know, I bet he can't read Roman numeral. No, it's number 4. Don't let that still small voice, I need to get quiet, that still small voice pass you by. Amen. Now, I say this because I give God the glory. During the day, you're going to hear my voice. When you go home for next week, you're going to hear my voice. Because, see, God's using my voice at this moment to plant seed in you. So when the devil tries to steal, you're going to hear that small, you're going to hear Pastor's small, still voice. That message will come back to you. And see, it's not me, it's the voice. Come on, John the Baptist had this. They say you're this. They say that. He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. I got the voice. He got the Holy Ghost. That's what came upon John. He said, I tell you who I am. I'm a voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He knew what he was called to do, and he spoke it. Now, not everybody prepared the way, but some of them did. Some of them got in the way. But John said, I come to prepare the way. Get out of the way. Because he's coming. And Jesus is coming again. Amen. And when he comes again, he's going to blow the way. Trumpet's going to blow. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. He's coming again. I tell you what, I want to know him as Savior before he comes again. Amen. Because he's coming for Israel. He's coming for the. He's coming again. He's coming for, as their first Messiah. So don't let this still small voice pass you by. And I'm going to read 1 Kings 19, 1 through 14, very quick. Now let's see. I'm going to spare you. I'm going to ask you to go home and read it. Read 1 Kings 19, 1 through 14. And this is about Elijah, who had an awesome time on the mountain with the prophets of Baal, over 800 prophets of Baal. In other words, he called fire down from heaven. There was Baal worship going on. There wasn't no rain in the land. There wasn't no rain coming because Elijah said there won't be no rain until God says there's going to be rain again. And it was time for the rain again. But before the rain came, these deceivers, these gods that were cursing the land had to be destroyed. See, that's why the rain wasn't coming, because people were worshiping the devil, worshiping Baal, and it was cursing the land. So there was a showdown on Mount Carmel. And when I think about Mount Carmel, I think about caramel apples. But it wasn't nothing. The only sweet thing up there was Elijah and God. That's about the only thing sweet, because, man, there was a showdown up there between the prophets of Baal and the prophet, say prophet, of God. I don't care, you know, I even read Facebook and I didn't search it out. They said there was witches praying spells against Trump. I just flipped that on up on my phone. You know what? I said, devil ain't got no power. The church is paying for Trump. You ain't got, the curse causes shall not come. You come against him one way. I said, devil, you're going to flee him seven ways. The curse is coming back on you. See, because the devil won't have no more power than God. You got to believe that. So I said, I just flipped that on through. That's old news, man. Jesus is undefeated. That's old news. Don't let that get in you. Somebody say, I'm going to curse you. Do you know greater is he that's in me than he that's in you? That curse is coming back on you, and they'll flee you in terror. You got to let them know that who you are and whose you are. So I'm a disciple of the Most High God. Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Speak to that devil. Tell him where to go. Don't tell him to go to hell, because he can't go there yet. That's his future. You're going to hell, but right now you're going to get out of my way. Get behind me or get under my feet. Because Jesus is going to be the one that's going to place him there in the lake of fire. Amen. So I want to read you verse 11, because we're talking about don't let that small still voice, don't let that pass you by too. After this great, go read this, and after this great showdown, Elijah called fire down from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice. And then he killed all the prophets of Baal, over 850 prophets. He killed them with his sword. Elijah did. How? The Spirit of God came upon him. The anointing came upon him. Why did he have, that's graphic, man. That's pretty bad. Yeah, but these people were full of the devil. Just think about it. They had swords in their hands too. And he said, 1 Kings 19, 11, and God said, go forth, stand on the mount before the Lord. Now, I got to give you a little bit of summary of what's happening here. Elijah defeated all these prophets of Baal. Man, can you imagine that? Being excited? The victory he just won for God. All these prophets killed. Now God's people is going to be enthroned. Now the true altar can be set back up, and God can be, righteousness can be restored. And then Jezebel, which is Ahab's old hateful wife over here, Jezebel, Ahab ran back to her, said, dear, we lost about 850 of your prophets. She got upset. She wasn't happy with that report. And she wrote a note to Elijah, sent a messenger with her note, says, as you did to all my prophets, as you did them, she said, so shall you be by this time such and such. In other words, she sent that to a messenger to Elijah. In the Bible, if you read that, and Elijah, when he got that message and he read it, it says not when he read it, it says when he saw it. See, Elijah saw that note, and he not only saw it, he believed it. So he had this great victory. So a lot of times when you've got your greatest victory, the devil's come to try to steal that victory and put you in fear and put you back in bondage. Because this woman sent a note and says, I'm going to take my, you're going to be just like those prophets you killed. I'm going to kill you. And he got in fear and he ran for his life. Elijah just did all this great mighty work for God. A messenger with a note. The woman wasn't even there. Just her words, say her words, entangled him. He just did this great miracle, and he ran from this, and this is where we're ending up. And Elijah ran from the presence of the Lord, ran from his mission, ran from his calling. This is what he was raised up to do, and now he's over here hiding in a cave. He's depressed, anxious, fear. See, that fear got a hold of his faith. Let me tell you a little bit more. He had pride. Elijah had pride. Because pride talks about when pride gets up here, what's coming? God says, look out. You're coming. You're setting yourself up for a fall. Because see, what happened, Elijah, he did this mighty work. But Elijah said, you get in this cave, you get in this example when God's speaking to him. He said, I'm the only one, Lord. But there was other prophets that God had hidden. He wasn't the only one. But he was thinking, I'm the only one. See, pride will exalt itself. And then he saw this note and he thought, oh gosh, now I need some help. I'm only one. He got into fear because that pride got him into fear. And then he lost that anointing. He lost that, I don't feel God. I don't feel that presence anymore. That anointing left him. See, God won't work in pride. He cannot work in pride. He works in faith. Amen? So when God got talking to him, and here we are in verse, don't let Jesus pass you by. Don't let his word pass you by. And he's feeling terrible. He's in this cave. He's ready to commit suicide, ready just to end his life. Get out of here. I failed. And God said to him in verse 11, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord, what did it say? Passed by. Here's Jesus walking on the water. See, God, these guys just had a great miracle they did with Jesus. Same scenario. The Spirit of God working through them. But it's not this spectacular thing. It's just fish. It wasn't a whole load of fish. It was the basket those disciples had. It multiplied as people. The basket, you know, Marie brought us some pies this morning. Three pies in there, and they cut some. Some of them, they went into the freezer. It'd be like her having a pie. And she said, Pastor, we got some pie. And then the church, we had over 500 people. She said, oh, God, Angel, we bought three pies, 500 people in church today. And angels say, we got faith. We got Jesus. No problem. And they say, thank you, Lord. We bless these. And as we would come, those pies, those pans would never be empty. They'd just be, you cut a piece and it always be a piece. You cut a piece. See, that was a miracle. You didn't have enough, but God made it enough. That's a miracle. That's the only thing God can do. And then they're out here in a storm. Jesus said, you're going to the other side. But the storm, it took their faith. Where's the pie maker? The pie maker's not here. Where's the pie maker? He's in. He said, I'll never leave you. He gave them authority to cast out devils. He didn't say, give it back to me yet. He never took it back, did he? He never took the authority back. They just didn't know how to operate in it. How to keep it. They didn't know how to keep it. And God said to Elijah, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind rent the mountains. There's your wind. And it broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord said, that wasn't me. And after the wind, an earthquake, California, they'll give you some examples, earthquake. You want to know, talk to somebody who lives in California, earthquake. But the Lord said, not me, not in it. In verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, California, they talk about fires too. Keep praying for California, pray for rain. They need an abundance of rain, but they need God out there. They need a revelation of God in that place. Amen? They need to humble themselves and repent. I mean, they need to change their way of thinking, guys. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what does it say? Small, still voice. A small, still voice. He didn't have to say, I'm in it. See, there is always the still, small voice of the Lord in our hearts. It's that small, still voice. You know, Marie's children, help me. Give me your name. Andrea. I didn't want to miss it. I mess it up. Andrea will always hear her mom and daddy when she grows old. She'll hear their voice. She knows their voice. It'll be that still small voice that says, Andrea, don't do it. Because your mom and daddy said, don't do it. Don't do it. That's mama's voice. That is God that will speak to you, Andrea. That is God. It's that small still voice. Paul said to Timothy, I perceive. That same spirit was in your grandmother Eunice is in you. I perceive it. And Paul stirred Timothy up. Listen to that voice. That's how you'll know that's God. That's the spirit of faith. It's that small, still voice. I'll always hear my pastor's voice. whether we make it to the rapture together. They go by the grave and they go dancing, him wanting to go dancing with Jesus. I don't know, but I'll never forget his voice, that still small voice that's going to help me. It's going to carry me to my destination. See, Joshua was Moses' associate pastor. And what did, be a good courage. Fear not, Joshua. Only be strong and a good courage. That carried him through the promised land. That is that same spirit of faith. It was that same small, still voice. It came from the mountain. It came from the mountain of God. Moses was on the mountain. And that small, still voice will sound like thunder in your heart. That's what you listen to. And when you listen to it, Cindy, that's what you act on. And you move not off of that. God has said. Well, how do you know God said? I believe. That settles it. That's it. Amen? Because God said I can do it. God said I can do that. God said I'm going to run my race. God said I'm going to finish my course. God said, Paul, I'm going to Rome. Amen? That settled it. Shipwreck. I don't care. I'll do the backstroke, Paul said, if I have to. I'm going to Rome because God sent an angel. He didn't have to show me that, but he sent it because he knew there was a big... Hey, if you're going to see an angel, look out, guys. You're going to have some great things I say stand before you. God just don't send you an angel and say, hey, see my angel right there? That means you got trouble. The devil's trying to really stir, trying to take you out, but God will give you something to really hang on. You know what I mean? To stir up your faith. I know that God sent his angel. Man, and see all the whole ship was destroyed. But Paul had a heavenly vision. I'm going to Rome. Well, then what happened next? He got out of the water. What happened? He got snake bit. Devil won't give up. God greater. Paul got the king and the whole place healed instead of dying. Live and get people healed. Amen. So when the devil says, you ain't getting your healing, ha, ha, ha. It's time when them good old belly laughs. They talk, ha, ha, ha. Good old Kenneth, hey, ha, ha. Hey, that's a spiritual laugh. You release endorphins. Ha, ha, ha. That means start laughing, Peggy. Just go home laughing. Just get you a belly gusher going. Make your prescription. I'm going to have 10 belly laughs today. Endorphins, not dolphins. Endorphins are flowing through my body. Ha, ha, ha. See, the devil can't laugh. See, he's dead. He's defeated. He ain't got nothing to laugh about. He said, what are you laughing about? You ain't getting, I know, Jesus got it for me. That's why I'm laughing. Ha, ha, ha. He got to get it, devil. Jesus got it for me. No, they don't. Good Lord, don't let Jesus pass you by. Go share this story to somebody, man. Share it. Take you some CDs. These CDs ain't just to say out there to look pretty. Take them out of here. Flood your area with CDs, man. I don't know. Take a pie with you. That'd be a good, you know your neighbor likes something good. And then, hey, oh, by the way, my pastor had a message today. Tell him what God did for you. Don't talk about you. I don't want you talking about me. I want you talking about Jesus. Tell them something God did for you. Get them the word. See, the word's what's going to save them. The word of salvation gets them saved. The word of healing brings health. They got to hear teaching about healing. Amen. Concluding, we made it. And it's before 12 o'clock. Wait a minute, I got an extra hour. I'm sorry. Wanda, I hear her. She laughing out there. Ha ha, she got some healing going on. Ha ha. Got a whole extra hour. Spring forward, fall back. Y'all fall back, guys. Got another hour to go. That's why she brought those pies. Because we got an extra hour for service. We're going to need some sugar. Frankie going to need some more coffee. Go make another pot, Frankie. I got another hour to go. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all give it to y'all. Y'all stay here too, wouldn't you? I know you would. Thank you, Lord. It don't take all day to do what God needs to do, does it? 2 Timothy 1:7. Coming in, Leo. Landing gears down. I don't know how they talk on those airways. I know Air Force One, that'd be the big one. God's got a bigger plan. He got a bigger plan. Take an E off a plane, what you got? Plan. Never looked at it that way. God got a bigger plan. It's bigger than Air Force One. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let Jesus pass you by. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God ain't giving it to you, it ain't yours. Don't sign the ticket. Fear come, faith arise. Get out of here. What is the antidote to fear? Faith. Flush it out with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. It didn't say hearing by the word of your pastor. If your pastor's preaching the word of God, that's good, but it's the word of God that's what's going to take fear and move it as far as the east is from the west. Fear not. Fear not. How many times is it in the Bible? A lot. Because that no, God knew you was going to be fearing a lot. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Somebody battling dementia, give them the word of God. Power, love, and a sound mind. You having a problem with memory problems? I will not have I will have a sound mind. Not only will I have it. I have a sound mind. What do you want to pass by? You want to let fear pass by. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Let fear pass by. That is what you want to let go. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's real, but it's false. Why is it false? Because it's a false God. Amen? It's a false God. There's two fathers in this world. There's two kingdoms in this world. Devil used to be my daddy. He used to be my father. I was born into his family by default. And I was in a bad family. Not everybody's born in a bad family, but my daddy was full of the devil, full of alcohol, full of devils, full of hatred, full of anger, bitterness. But that wasn't my real daddy. I just didn't know it yet. But I found out as a kid, I can remember being outside praying to a God I knew was up there, but I didn't know how to contact him. As a kid, I knew something was better out there, and this wasn't life. I just knew that. I just knew. You see, the Bible says we know. In Romans, talks about we have a knowing on the inside of us about God. Heaven's declared that there's a God, and they were declaring it. And I was just talking to him the only way I knew how. And he heard. See, it don't have to be words. It has to be faith. You can be praying to God by faith. Don't have to have words. You know what I mean? You don't have to be speaking a Hebrew language, Greek language. You speak in God's language. You're crying out in faith. He hears. And he heard. And he was putting people across my path. Had people in the family praying. It wasn't just for me. It's for my whole family. Because he knew God had a plan, and the devil didn't know the whole plan. See, the devil just knows your past. He don't know your future. And he'll remember, your future begins today. Your future begins today. Your tomorrow begins today. What do you believe in God for the future? Start it today. Amen. Start decreeing and declaring today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, in today. And tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. Even it might be a cloudy day. Sun's still shining. Just past those clouds. Amen. Thank you, Peggy and Harold, for pressing on, pressing through. And you have the answer. The glory of God. You sang about it. The glory of God. You're healed. We're healed. We're filled. We got power. Amen. The devil's a liar. Father, we thank you right now, Lord. I thank you. Jesus, you're in our boat. We thank you, Lord. We don't let you pass by. We let you come in and abide in us. We thank you, Lord, for filling our lives with good things. Lord, you have given good things to your children. And, Lord, we prophesy today. I just prophesy good things to your people. That, Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So I speak to sound minds today, Lord. And for our bodies to be whole, to walk in divine health, Lord, to be an instrument, Lord, full of your glory and power. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message today, that it goes past these walls, and Lord, it goes into the hearts of men and women and children, Lord, and it changes their lives. Not because I think it's good, but because God, you say your word is good. You are good. You are good all of the time. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us the place to come and worship you freely today, Lord. And we just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and indwelling our bodies. And Lord, we just give you the praise today. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty word and for your mighty spirit. And there's nothing that we can't do, and we'll do it together.